Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Samach Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source, and in our marking system, Tanaic sources can be identified by sections of the Gemara that have frames around those lines. This is in order to distinguish the Tanaic literature that appears in the Gemara from the rest of the Gemara text. This brisa essentially is a continuation of the discussion that we saw in the Mishnah. So just to recap, we saw in our Mishnah a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua with regard to an oilas ha'oif that was processed as a chatos ha'oif, whereby Rabbi Eliezer says the iser mi'ila still exists. And the reason for that is that it is an ola sa'of. An ola is something that has no heter lokehanim. And those kind of sacrifices that don't achieve a heter lokehanim, heter means something becoming permissible for the personal benefit of kehanim. If it doesn't achieve its heter lokehanim, it retains an iser mi'ila. And an ola in general is something that has no heter lokehanim. And therefore, it retains the iser mi'ila. The Isser Mi'ilah is that Isser which says one is not allowed to derive personal benefit from sacrifices. According to Rabbi Yoshua, though, an Ola Sa'of that's processed as if it were a Chata Sa'of converts into a Chata Sa'of. And a Chata Sa'of can achieve Heter LeKohanim, permissibility to Kohanim, and as a result, Ein Bo Mi'ilah. It will not carry with it Mi'ilah. The Mishnah itself featured a rather vigorous give and take between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. We pick up this discussion now in the Braisa, at the beginning of the Gemara on Samach Zayin, at the point at which you see the abbreviated Gemara word bold-faced, the bold-faced Gemara word put in by the printers after the Mishnah. Tanya, Omar Lo, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer, who was arguing that there still is a mi'ila problem with regard to the oila sa'of processed as a chatas, he says, Osham she shochtoi b'tzofon l'shem shlomim yochiach. Let the case of a korban osham that's slaughtered in the northern part of the Azora, as if it were a l'shem shlomim with a shlomim mindset, sheshino es shmoi, he changed the name of it. In other words, while he was processing, while he was shechting the osham, he did it with a shlomim mindset, umolin bo, and there is meila, namely before the zrika sadam, there is meila with this. V'af ato al tetameh al ho'oila, so too you should not be amazed with regard to the oila sa'of, shafal pi sheshino es shema, even though he changed its name from ola to chatos, sheyim alu ba, that there should be me'ila. Omar lo Rabbi Yoshua loy, I disagree from your attempt to prove your point from the Osham. Im Amris ba'Osham, if you insist on your point with basing yourself on the Osham, she'im shino es shmoi lo shino es mekoimoi. He may have changed the name, but he didn't change its location. So we would say that it's not a real conversion to the Shlomim. However, toimar ba'oilo, should you say the same thing with regard to our case, the case we're arguing about, the case of the Ola, Sheshino es Shema, Vishino es Makoma, not only did he process it with a chatos in mind, but he also changed the location. That's a complete change. That, of course, was featured in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah described the Olasof that was done lemata, namely on the lower part of the Mizbeach, which is not the Ola location. So that's that we would consider a complete change, and therefore it converts into a Chatos, thereby alleviating the Me'ila problem. Omar lo Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer responds, Osham sheshachtoi badoroim l'shem shlomim yochiach. What about the case of the Osham sacrifice, animal sacrifice that's slaughtered in the southern part of the Azara with a shlomim in mind? Let that prove my point. Sheshino es shmo, veshino es makomo. There he, not only did he change the identity but he also changed the location. And yet umo'al in bo, there still is an isor mi'ila. Af ato al titame al ha'ola. So you should not be amazed with regard to the ola, the bird offering. Shafabi shishino es shema, vishino es mekoma, mo'alin ba. The fact that he did this complete change, not only name but also location, that does not convert it into a chatos, as you want to say. Amar le Rabbi Yoshua loy. I still disagree. Im amris be'osham. If you say, you try to make your point with regard, basing yourself on the case of the Osham, nevertheless, you'll notice, Sheshino es shmo, Veshino es makomo, Velo shino es maisov. There, true, he changed the name, he changed the location, but he did not render any change in the procedure. But should you say the same thing with regard to the case of the Olas Of, where there's a more radical change? Sheshino es shema, vi es maaseha, vi shino es mekoma. There he changed the name. He also changed in terms of the maisa, the procedure, the methods, and he changed the place. Shita Mekubetzes adds the word ishtik, and Rabbi Eliezer did not respond. He remained silent. The silence would imply that Rabbi Eliezer had no response. Omar Rava amai ishtik. So Rava responds and says, why did Rabbi Eliezer remain silent? V'neimole, let Rabbi Eliezer say back the following. We have a long point. That's illustrated by the nun that you see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of Gemara with a vertical dashed line, that indicating that all of the lines of the Gemara that are parallel to this vertical dashed line form the point. So Rava says, why did Rabbi Eliezer remain silent? V'neimole, let Rabbi Eliezer say back, Osham sheshochtoi bedoroim l'shem shlomim Beshinui Bailim Yochiach. Let that prove my point. We want to add here, and we've written this between the lines, that where you do something Beshinui Bailim, where you changed the ownership in your mind. In other words, let us say that Mr. A was bringing a korban, and you were processing it with Mr. B in mind. That's called Shinui Bailim. So couldn't Rabbi Eliezer have proven, and we are paralleling this Shinui Bailim as being something, we'll say, so drastic that it's equal to a Shinui Maisa. Before we saw Rabbi Yoshua say that, well, when there's a Shinui Maisa, that really converts it into something else. That converts the Oila Soif into a Chata Soif. Well, Rabbi Eliezer could have said, here you have an Osham that underwent a radical change, and still there is Mi'ila. Couldn't he have said this? Well, he didn't say this. So Rava will be making a point about this, the potential argument that Rabbi Eliezer had, but yet did not use it. So what does that show us? So this is going to be our long point. Let's continue in the Gemara. So actually, let's reread the last two lines. Omar Rava, Amai Ishtik, V'neimolei, let Rabbi Eliezer say, back to Rabbi Yeshua, Oshem Sheshochtei B'dorom L'Shem Shlomim B'Shinui Bailim, which Yochiach, let that prove Rabbi Elezer's point. Sheshino es shemo, v'shino es mekomo, v'shino es maisov, umo alin bo. And it's, even though the Gemara says shino es maisov, we know that that's a reference to the shinui bailim, which is treated as if it were a shinui maisa. And yet there is still me'ila. Now, midolo ka'amar lehachi, from the fact that Rabbi Elezer did not say all of this, shma mino, this would prove nochis Rabbi Eliezer le'taimei de Rabbi Yoshua, that Rabbi Eliezer actually adopts Rabbi Yoshua's point. Di'omar Rav Ado bar Avo. Now, Rav Ado bar Avo is brought into the Gemara to show us what Rabbi Yoshua's point is. How it works, because we didn't see in the text how Rabbi Yoshua how he describes this conversion. All we saw him say is that if he does the Ola Sa'of as if it were a Chatos, there's no longer Mi'ila associated with it. How does that actually operate? This is what Rav Ado bar Avo will be showing us. But for our purposes, Rava is illustrating or pointing out that Rabbi Elezer's silence seems to be an acceptance on his part of his adversary's opinion, that of Rabbi Yeshua. Now, what is Rabbi Yeshua's opinion? The Omer of Ado Bar Avo, Omer Hoya Rabbi Yeshua, Oilas Oif, Shaso Lamato, Kemaisa Chatos L'Shem Chatos. This is the case we've been dealing with till now, the Oila Sa'of that's processed as if it were a Chatos, whether it be in terms of location, procedure, and mindset. Kevon Shemolak Bo Simen Echod, at the point that he severs one simen of this Oila Sa'of, Nimsheches Venasis Chatos Sa'of, it's drawn into the category of Chatos Sa'of. Ihochi. Well, if we're going to accept this idea of the change in procedure being responsible for a korban of a former identity being drawn into a new identity, why not say the opposite? Let's say an additional case in the opposite direction. Chatosof nami. Notice what we've done with our markings. We've used a dashed underline to highlight the expression olasof previously, and now chatosof. Previously, we were dealing with the olasof converting into a chatos. Can we not give an opposite scenario of a chatosof converting into an ola? Iochi chatosof nami. Shaso lemalo kemaisa oila. Why not say a chatosof which is done on the upper part of the mizbeach, as if it were, or with the Ola procedure, Mechi Molek Bo Simen Echod, at the point that you sever one Simen, Timo Shech Vetevei Olas Ha'of, let it be drawn into being an Olas Ha'of and be called Kosher. Vechi Teimo Hochi Nami, and if you say, yeah, that's correct, that's what happens. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Beno, but Rabbi Yochanan, quoting Rabbi Bina, says, "Kach hi hatzah shel Mishnah." This is the presentation of the Mishnah. My love, kach hi hatzah v'sulo. That which the Mishnah teaches is only that, namely that only in the case of the Ola Sa'of that's processed as a chatos does Rabbi Yeshua say kosher. And only in that case does Rabbi Yeshua argue with Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says, Loi, kach hatzah shel kula mishnah. That just like Rabbi Yeshua argues in the case of the Ola converting into a chatas, the same thing can happen with a chatas converting into an Ola. We have a little diamond that we inserted, and that's explained in the outside margin, Nosei Mivneh, Shtei Deois, Lefi Rabbi Yeshua. Two opinions within Rabbi Yeshua, Im Amrino Nami Dechatas Oif Shasol Lemalek Amais Oilo Nimshach Liois Oilo, regarding the Chatas Oif treated on the upper part of the Mizbeach as if it were an Ola, can it convert into becoming an Ola? So the first diamond represents a Shita that Rabbi Yeshua would expand his idea of conversion to the Chatos converting into an Ola. Rav Ashi disagrees, though. And Rav Ashi's point is a long point. You can see we've, instead of using the nun for nekuda, for a point, we've simply written in his name to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating that all of the lines of Gemara opposite this vertical dashed line are part of Rav Ashi's comment. Rav Ashi Omar, Bishlamo Oilas Ha'oif Shasola Matu Kamaisa Chatos L'Shem Chatos. That case I understand well, that Rabbi Yeshua says it converts into becoming a Chatos. Kevon Deho Hechshero B'Simon Echad Deho Hechshero B'Shnei Simonim. Since the Chatos Ha'oif is kosher with the severing of one tube, and the Olas Ha'oif is kosher only upon the severing of the two tubes. The Oila Sa'of Lamato Lesa, and the Ola Sa'of is not done on the lower part of the Mizbeach. Kevon de Molak Bo Simen Echad, at the point that you sever one tube of the Ola Sa'of, but you're doing it on the lower part of the Mizbeach. Nimsheches Vinasis Chata Sa'of. It's drawn into being a Chata Sa'of. Ela Chata Sa'of. However, the case of the Chatos Ha'oif, what we would like to do is, at this point, just glance and use the text that's provided by the Shita Mekubetzes. It's the second line of his wide lines. In the middle, there's a little Yud Gimel. Elo Chatos Ha'oif sha'aso lemalo kemaisa oilo l'shem oilo. But the case of the Chatos Ha'oif, hoping that it will convert to an Ola, that is not to be the case. Why? Kevan di Omar Mor, Molka b'chol mokim b'mizbeach k'shera, that a Chatos whose Malika is done any point on the Mizbeach, even if it's done on the upper part of the Mizbeach k'shera, it would be kosher as a Chatos Ha'oif. In other words, as opposed to an Ola Sa'oif, the Chatos Ha'oif Malika location is quite flexible. It could be done even on the upper part of the Mizbeach. Therefore, Mechi Molak Bo Chad Simen Havile Chatos Ha'oif. At the point that he does Malika to one tube, it becomes a Chatos Ha'oif. The Gemara, we can turn back to the Gemara. The text that we will pick up with is two lines under that Yud Gimel. If we read from the beginning of line, this is also what we've seen in the Shita Mekubetzes. It said, Mechi Molak Bo Simen Echad. Once he cut one of the tubes, once he severed one of the tubes on the upper part of the Mizbeach of this Chatos Ha'oif, Ifsala. Namely, before he finished before he finished the second simen, its maisa l'shem chatos has been completed. In other words, the shem chatos was chal on it, set upon it, and we have to emphasize the word ifsala is a reference to the fact that you have on your hands a Chatos Ha'oif, namely it was originally designated as a Chatos Ha'oif, and now you're doing it as if you're with an Ola mindset. That's a Chatos Shelo Lishma, and that is puzzle. The Gemara goes on to say ki hodar molek beidoch simen, when he goes on to sever the second simen, the second tube of this bird offering, how can it be drawn into becoming categorized as an Ola Sof? How can it convert into an Ola Sof? It has already become puzzle. It's already become invalidated by the fact that you had a Chatos Ha'oif where there was really no problem with regard to location, even though he was doing it lamala. We said it's kosher b'chol mokoyim. He was doing it with an Ola in mind. At the point that he severed one simen, he basically finished what would have been a chatos ha'of, because the chatos ha'of requires only one siman to be done. So before he ever completed it as if it were an ola, it was already completed as a chatos shelo lishma. At that point, it's rendered, it's labeled invalid. Therefore, there can be no chance of it, says Rav Ashi, there's no chance of it converting into an acceptable ola. So to summarize, as far as Rav Ashi is concerned, even though an ola sa'of, if processed as a chata sa'of on the lower part of the mizbeach, in the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, becomes a chata sa'of, and therefore there's no more me'ila, we will not say the same thing with regard to an ola sa'of, with regard to a chata sa'of, in an attempt to convert it into an ola sa'of, because the chata sa'of achieves a puzzle status, an invalid status, before the ola sa'of process could ever be completed. Gufa. Omar Rav Ada Barava, we are now referring to that which was mentioned in passing above. You will notice we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. If you find the parallel star above, you'll see where this quote is coming from. Gufa Omer of Ado Bar Avo, Omer Hoyo Rabbi Yeshua, Oilas Ho'oif, Sha'asol Lamato Kemaisa Chatos, L'shem Chatos, Kevon Shemolak Bo Simen Echod, at the point that you sever one simen, Nimsheches V'nasis Chatos Ho'of, it becomes a Chatos Ho'of. And we have to add a critical assumption. When the Gemara says that it becomes a chatos ha'of, the thought is that the owner would even have fulfilled his chatos requirement. In other words, if you had a person that was obligated to bring a chatos bird offering, this ola that was processed as a chatos, and Rabbi Yeshua is saying that it's drawn into becoming a chatos, it's so much so that the owner would even fulfill his chatos obligation if he had such an obligation. Toshma. Well, we're now going to bring this into question. The source at the top is introduced by a toshma with a triangle. Let's glance at the outside margin. We have a nosei, a topic heading hemshech, meaning a continuation of the topic that we are in the midst of. Mivneh, we also have noted, this represents a structural note. So we see a triangle indicating makoros, sources. We have a couple of triangles. As you look down the page, you'll see another one, followed by a tanaic source. So these are sources, shemehem mashma, from them, from these sources, it appears, delo amrinon she'oilas ha'oif yochol limoshech leos chatos ha'of. From these sources, it will appear that a chatos ha'of, that a an olas ha'of, cannot be converted into a chatos ha'of. So we're going to see sources that would seem to run counter to the description that Rav Ada was providing in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Of course, we will see everything will be clarified as we go on in the Gemara. So we have a source. This source is from Maseches Kinim. This is a Masechta of Mishnayos. There's no Gemara that accompanies this tractate. It's in Seder Kochim. It's going to be pointed out later in the Gemara. In fact, the actual proof will be found on Daf Samaches, that Maseches Kinim is authored by Rabbi Yeshua. In other words, Mishnayos that you see in Maseches Kinim, where there are no names associated with with any given statement, you are to assume that it's authored by Rabbi Yeshua. So we'll be seeing a source now, which represents a source of Rabbi Yeshua. With regard to the Mishnayos that we'll be quoting from Maseches Kinim, there is a good deal of background that's necessary before one can truly appreciate the case that's presented. So we have a source here where the Gemara, where it opens up Chatos Lezu V'Oilo Lezu. in order to appreciate the background, we should look at Rashi, the second line from the top, Chatas Lazu, Rochel Shehoisa Tzricha Chatas Leidasa. A woman by the name of Rochel. It's just an example like John Doe. It's just a random name for illustration purposes. So this particular woman, sometimes we refer to these names in the forms of Mr. A and Mr. B, in this case Mrs. A and Mrs. B, or as Rashi says, Rochel Shehoisa Tzricha Chatas Leidasa. She required, as a woman who just bore a child, she requires to bring a bird offering. Now, the bird offering that of a yoledes, of a woman who gave birth, is comprised of two birds, an chatas and an ola. So this woman had a chatas requirement, v'olosa kvar kerva. She already offered her ola offering. The Leia, there was another woman, hoisa tzricha ola, shikvar karva chatasa. She had an ola requirement insofar as that her chatas offering was already offered. So you have these two women that each one of them had one of their two bird offerings, birds offered up, each woman needing a different korban from her friend. V'lokhu kain. Kain is a word representing two birds. V'lokhu kain be'iruv. They jointly bought a two birds. The kovu and established preda achas l'chatas Rochel. V'preda achas l'oilas Leah. V'nostim l'kain. And they set up that one bird shall be for Rochel's chatas requirement. Remember, she's the woman who had already offered her ola offering. So she had this chatas requirement still upon her. So one of these two birds that these women bought jointly was designated as for Rochel's chatas, and the other bird was designated preto achas le'olas Leah, was designated for Leah's ola requirement, and the two birds were presented to the kohen. So that's background. Now let's turn to the source. Chatas lezu ve'ola lezu. Also, the kohen then processed shtehen lamalo. The kohen thought that these two women required, each one of them required, had an ola requirement upon them. So he processed both of them above, on the upper part of them, zveach l'shem ola. Now, how many of the birds were to be brought as an ola in reality? One of them. He processed both of them on the upper part of the Mizbeach. The result is mechza kosher, mechza posel. Half is kosher, that means one of the two birds is kosher because it was done properly, and the other one is improper, is posel, is invalid. Shtehen lamata, if he did both of the birds below, mechza kosher u mechza posel. Achas lamalo v'achas lamata. He took the two birds and did one of them above and one of them below. The Mishnah rules shtehen psulos. Both birds are posel. Shani omer, because I'm going to have to take into consideration the possibility that chatos kerva lamalo, the chatos bird, and we saw in our example, Rochel needed the chatos. So Rochel's chatos was done above, which is the improper place for it. The oila kerva lamato, and Leah's ola bird was done below, also the improper place. Notice we've dashed underlined the oila kerva lamato. This source is ruling that it's posel, and this is a Rabbi Yeshua source. That's because we said that stam kinim, Mishnayos from kinim without a name written out, we're assuming is under the authorship of Rabbi Yeshua. And it says at the end of this source, the oila that was done below is pusel. So the Gemara goes on to point out, Nehi nami the oila kerva lamata, granted that the oila was done in its improper location. But nevertheless, timshoch v'teve chatas of, why is it not drawn or converted into being a chatas of as per Rabbi Yeshua's description, as we saw according to Rav Ado as we saw brought to us by Rav Ado Bar Ahava. Why is it not converted into being a chatos? Why does the Mishnah say that they're both pasul? So the Gemara answers, Eimud Rabbi Yeshua b'chad gavra. Rabbi Yeshua says his din when you're dealing with one person. However, betray gavri mi omar, when you're dealing with two people, and the expectation is that the person should fulfill his requirement. How can you say that the ola of one woman, namely, in our example, we saw Leah requiring an ola? How could you possibly say that Leah's ola would convert into Rachel's chatos? That even Rabbi Yeshua does not suggest. All Rabbi Yeshua talks about is the identity of a korban when you're dealing with one person, but as far as converting into being considered someone else's korban, that far Rabbi Yeshua never went. Toshma, the Gemara brings a Toshma representing a question. We want to note here that we have a very long question by way of structure. We have a long question marking as well, and this takes us till Samach Ches Omid Alef in the middle of the Omid. You'll notice the kuf that's encircled to the left hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. And if you follow this vertical dashed line, continuing with the left hand side of the Gemara text, you'll see how far it goes on Samach Ches Omid Alef. The reason for the length of this is that a major section of this actually is in a brackets, which features an attempt that will be rejected. So before we go on in the Gemara itself, let's present the structure. The Gemara begins with a question from a Tanaic source, in which it seems that the Ola does not convert into becoming a chatos. That, and we're, of course, this is a source from Kenan. Being that it's a source from Kenan, we're assuming that it's authored by Rabbi Yeshua. And if you see the bird not converting from Ola to chatos, that would present a problem to what we had learned on Omid Aleph. Especially that which was brought to us by Rav Ado Bar Ahava in describing Shitas Rabbi Yeshua. At the point that the brackets appears in our Gemara, you can spot that point rather easily because we often provide a bracket length indicator. This is a vertical dashed dotted line. And you'll notice such a marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. And you'll notice that on that line, the bracket starts. At that point, the Gemara tries to deflect the question by saying, well, maybe the source that you're quoting is not Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara then responds immediately and says, how can you say that it's not Rabbi Yeshua? For we're quoting from Maseches Kinim. And all of Maseches Kinim is taught by Rabbi Yeshua. And that is proven by the presentation of a long Tanaic section, at the end of which, and you'll notice this on Samach Ches Omid Aleph, at the end of which we have dashed underlined Omar Rabbi Yeshua. At that point, the Gemara is showing that Kinim was authored by Rabbi Yeshua. So that the attempt to deflect the question from the second triangled source by claiming it's not Rabbi Yeshua, that will fail. So therefore, by the time we reach the end of the brackets, we will have a question on our hands. Namely, we'll have a situation of a source from Kenan, which is Rabbi Yeshua, and the source implying that the Ola does not convert into a Chatos. The Gemara will eventually answer, and sometimes we do this in our shiur, we spoil the fun by revealing the answer before even reading the Gemara, but for the sake of presenting a clear structure, we will do that. The Gemara will say that even though Rabbi Yeshua does hold that an Ola can convert into a Chatas, that's only with regard to alleviating or extricating ourselves from a Mi'ilah problem. However, to suggest that a person can fulfill his requirement, his or her requirement, with a converted named sacrifice, that far Rabbi Yeshua never went. That's why it was important for us to emphasize at the end of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph that when Rav Ado Bar Ava said that the Ola Sa'of is drawn into being a Chata Sa'of, we thought that he meant it's drawn into being a Chata Sa'of so much so that the owner who may have had a Chatas requirement can fulfill his Chatas requirement with this newly converted sacrifice. At the end of the day, we say no, Rabbi Yeshua never went that far. All Rabbi Yeshua ever said was that an Ola can convert into a Chatas, thereby leaving the realm of Ola, which had a permanent Mi'ila status associated with it, Mi'ila being the prohibition to receive benefit from it, and that can be alleviated. It can convert to a Chatos, which could lose that problem, lose that Mi'ila status. We'll just mention a certain disclaimer at this point, and we may mention it again a little later. When we get to the bracketed section, we're going to encounter a very long Tanaic source from Maseches Kinim. Even though we strive to offer an explanation as we go along in our shiurim to every line of Gemara, in this case we're going to see a very, very complicated Tanaic source. In other words, the required explanation for it would be rather exhaustive. Hence, in the context of our shiur of Gemara markings, we're going to pass up on the line-by-line explanation of that particular Mishnah, and the only reason for that is that that's not the concern of our sugya. The only concern of our sugya in citing this source from Maseches Kinim is to show or to demonstrate that Rabbi Yeshua is the author of Kinim, and that we can accomplish by simply focusing on the end of the source, which appears on Samaches Amud Aleph. So we offer our apologies ahead of time in the fact that we will not offer an explanation for this source, and we will of course recommend that all listeners open up Mishnayos with fine and clear commentaries if one wants to gain an appreciation of the details of this long source. But as far as our non-explanation of that source and affecting our understanding of the sugya, we won't be affected by that because of what we mentioned, that the whole point is simply to illustrate that Kinim is authored by Rabbi Yeshua, and that we will see at the end. Turning now back to the upper part of Samach Zayin Omid Beis, we notice our second triangle, Toshma, and we've already noted that this is the beginning of a long question. The source opens up with a description of six birds. Chatos ve'oila, ustuma, umufureshes. This involves three kinim. We mentioned before that a kain is a set of birds. When one has an obligation to bring a bird offering, that entails the bringing of two birds. In this case, there are three kinim, comprising a total of six birds. Chatas viola represents a case where the identity of the bird and the identity of the owners has been established. In other words, you have the chatas belonging to Reuven and the ola bird belonging to Shimon. stuma is a situation of two birds, but nothing was associated with them. In other words, they weren't labeled at all. They were purchased simply as two anonymous birds. They were not labeled as Reuven's Ola and Shimon's Chatos. And the case of Mefureshes is a situation where just the names of the birds were labeled, that this is that one bird was labeled a Chatos and the other was labeled an Ola, but the ownership was not associated. We can say, in summary, that four of the birds have some element of identity associated with them. Two of the birds have no identity attached to them. Let us continue now in the source. Chatos v'oila, ustuma u'mefureshes. As we mentioned, we've just described six birds. Also, and now come the different cases. First case, kulon lamala. He processed all the birds on the upper part of the mizbeach. The kohen thought they were all olos. The result, we might want to mention also, just by way of additional summary, that we mentioned there are six birds. In the sum total, there is a need to have three of them as olos and three of them as chatos. It's also explained in Rashi that the kohen is offering them in groups of two, and then another two, and then another two. And each time the kohen had this particular mindset. So he did all of them on the upper part of the mizbeach, thinking that they were all olos, mechza kosher u'mechza posel. So half of them will be considered okay, and half of them will be considered invalid. Kulon lamato, if he did all of the birds on the lower part of the mizbeach, thinking that they were all chatos, and we know, as we mentioned just a moment before, that three of them are in fact supposed to be chatos. He does all six of them on the lower part of the mizbeach. The result is mechza kosher u'mechza posel. Chetzion lamala v'chetzion lamato, he takes these six birds and does three of them on the upper part of the mizbeach, and three of them on the lower part of the mizbeach. Enoch Shera Elo Stuma. The only birds that will be acceptable are the two birds that had no identity. As we mentioned before, he is offering the birds in units of two and two and two. Each time, well, in this particular case, he does one above and one below. And then again, one above and one below. And then a third time, one above and one below. So when he's taking the cane, that's stuma, the unidentified, the totally unidentified pair of birds, that will be kosher, because one of them was supposed to be a chatos and the other was supposed to be an ola. So the one that he did above will be kosher as an ola, and the one he did below will be kosher as a chatos. Umischalekes beinehem, and the two people that were bringing these six birds will benefit each one from one of the two birds. However, ve'ilu mifuroshin loy, the case of the pair of birds that were classified as mifuroshin we described before as they had their sacrifice label attached to them without the ownership label attached to them. Namely, one of the two birds was labeled as a chatos and the other bird was labeled as an ola without the owner's name being attached to it yet. What happened then? He did one of the two above and one of the two below. The source that we just read would indicate that the Mefuroshin pair are both invalid.
V'amai, why do you say they're both invalid? Nihi nami de oila kervo lamato. Let's take the worst case scenario. He did the ola bird below and the chatos bird above, namely in their improper locations. Bearing in mind, though, Rabbi Yeshua's approach to this matter, the Gemara says, granted that he did the ola below, but why does the source say that the ola done below is posel, timshoch v'teve chatosof? Let it be drawn into being a chatosof. Let it convert into a chatosof, just like we saw was Shitas Rabbi Yeshua. Technically speaking, we could skip the bracketed section now, because we're certainly working with the assumption, and it's an assumption that will last till the end, by the way, that this is a Rabbi Yeshua source. So we have this source indicating that the Mufurashin, those were the non-ownership but yet sacrifice-labeled birds, the Ola done below, with the Kohen thinking that it was a chatos and processing it as a chatos, the source said that it's puzzle. Why don't we say that which we've dashed underlined, as we did the same marking above, let it convert into, let the ola done below convert into a chatos. And if it would have done that, so then the person who is bringing, the person who needed the chatos would thereby benefit. Once again, we are talking about two people who are bringing these six birds, each one with their respective requirements. So we skip the bracketed section, we go to Samach Chesom and Aleph, and we answer. Eimo de Rabbi Yeshua lafuka mide me'ila. Rabbi Yeshua did say that an ola done below can convert into a chatos, thereby extricating it from a me'ila status. However, what we are suggesting in our question here, lemesak le lechova, that the person who had a chatos obligation should be able to fulfill his chatos obligation through this converted ola, through this ola bird that was done below and converting into a chatos, and expecting the second fellow, in other words, the ola bird belonged to Mr. A. Mr. B had a chatos requirement. We want if you think that Mr. A's ola, by virtue of it being done on the lower part of the mizbech, would be converting it to a chatos, thereby enabling Mr. B to fulfill his requirement, that far Rabbi Yeshua never went. That's what this means. Lemesak le lechova, the Gemara says right before the Mishnah Samach Chesem and Aleph. Lemesak le lechova, that it should be able to fulfill the other guy's chatos chova, mi omar. Did Rabbi Yeshua ever say that? No, Rabbi Yeshua never went that far. Let's turn back now to the bracketed section. We raised the question already. We're just reviewing what we've said already, even a few times, that in the source we just read, in the second triangled source, we saw that the only kosher birds were the stuma ones, but the mefurashin, those were the birds that had the sacrifice label labeling without the ownership labeling. We said that those remained invalid. But the question was raised, why do you say that both of those are invalid? Why not say that the ola bird that was done below should convert into becoming a chatos? And yet we don't say that. And that would be a kasha on the way, on that which Rav Ado Bar Ava presented Rabbi Yeshua. Reading now the bracketed section, v'chitema ha delok Rabbi Yeshua, you might say, well, the source that we just read under the second triangle, which was from Maseches Kinim, is not in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua, and therefore there's no question, because our whole sugya is within the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, and if you say that Kinim is not Rabbi Yeshua, so there's no question. But umi motzis amris hachi. But how could you possibly suggest that the source that we just read was not according to Rabbi Yeshua? Ha Tanan, do we not have the following Tanaic source from Maseches Kinim?
it's a very long source, as, and we mentioned, and we apologize again, as we read ahead in this source, we're not going to offer much by way of explanation with regard to the details of the source. All we have to bear in mind right now is that as we read along in this source, we're going to encounter the Rabbi Yeshua's name at the end of it, and we've already dashed, underlined that on Samach Ches Amud Aleph for your convenience. This will demonstrate that Kinim is authored by Rabbi Yeshua. So as we go along, again, for the third time, we are apologizing. We're not going to be offering detailed explanation to this source. It says, Ha'knan, Ha'isha she'omro hareolai kein im eileid zohar. You have a woman who is dedicating a bird offering. A cain is two birds. When you have a voluntary offering, they are both ola birds. An obligatory bird offering is also comprised of two birds, but one is a chatos and one is an ola. So this woman who is bearing a child, she's going to have an obligatory bird offering as well. So some total of birds, she'll have four birds, three of which will be oilos, because the two Nidova birds, the two voluntary birds, are olas, and as she is a child-bearing woman, she will have an obligatory bird offering comprised of one ola and one chatos. So we have this woman who accepted upon herself a cain if she bears a boy, a male child. Yolda zohar, if she in fact bore a male child, Mevio Shtei Kinim. She brings two bird offerings. That's really four birds, because each bird offering is made up, each cane is made up of two birds. Achas, one pair, Linidra. The Achas, Lechovosa, and one pair for her obligation. The nether being the voluntary offering that she made, that she accepted upon herself, the vow that she accepted upon herself, and the other being the obligation. Even if she accepted no vow upon herself, she still would have this pair of birds, the chatos and ola, to bring. Nos nosen l'kayin. And then she gave them to the kayin. Ha'kayin tzorich la'asoyson sholosh l'malav yachas l'mato. We have a little bit of a numbering and lettering system here to break down the source into the respective subdivisions and different cases, but as far as the reasoning behind the cases, we said that is rather elaborate. Rashi provides the explanation, and in addition to Rashi, we highly recommend looking into Mishnayos that have clear commentaries that accompany them. So the four birds were given to a kohen, and the first part of this source indicates that the kohen is supposed to do three of them above, because there are three olas here, the achas lamata, and one of the birds as a chatos, which is done on the lower part of the mizbeach. However, lo osa kohen, let's say he didn't do what he's supposed to do, elo osa shtayim lamalo v'shtayim lamato, he rather took two of the birds and did them above instead of three that he should have done above, and two of them on the lower part of the Mizbeach. V'lo nimlach, he did this without consulting the woman in trying to find out what she was bringing. Tzricha, now the woman's actual requirements are not being fulfilled. Tzricha shetovi oid preido achas v'takriveno lamalo. Mimin echad means if her original obligation was to bring one variety of bird. In the realm of bird offerings, there are toirim, one that's the name of one type of bird, and b'nei yona, the name of another kind of bird. So if her original sacrifice was of one variety, so then what needs to be done is, this woman, since two were done above instead of three, so she's missing she's missing out on her obligation. She's missing one of the birds. One of her olos were not done properly. So the Mishnah tells us that she has to bring another preda. Preda is a singular bird, and that a new or replacement bird shall be done above. Mishnei minim, if her original vow was of two varieties of birds, Torim and Bnei Yona, then Tovi Shtayim, she'll have to bring two replacement birds. Pirsha Nidra, Tzricha Lahavi Oid Shloisha Predin, if it's Mimin Echad. If she delineated which birds were her vow, were for her personal vow, so then she'll have to bring, if her original vow was Mimin Echad, she'll have to bring another three birds. Umishnei Minim, if her original vow was made up of two kinds of Turim and Bnei Yona, then Tovi Arba. She'll need to have four birds. Kova Nidra, Tzricha Shetavi Od Chomesh Predim Lamalo Mimin Echad. Umishnei Minim Tovi Sheish. Nosnoson Lekayin V'eino Yodas Ma Nosna. If she gave him to the Kohen, doesn't know what she gave him. Holach HaKohen V'osa V'eino Yodea Ma Osa. And the Kohen then did and doesn't know what he did. Tzricha, she'll need a total of, we'll see, seven birds. Dalid Predin L'Nidra, she'll have to bring four birds because of her original vow. Ushtayim L'Chovasa, and two because of her obligation. V'chatos Achas, and one more bird as a chatas. Regarding this chatas achas, we've noted here an aleph. The numbers that you see in parentheses are simply numbers for the purpose of calculating the number of birds she has to bring. However, this aleph is because Ben Azai, who follows right now, argues. Ben Azai Omer, Shnei chatos. Omer Rabbi Yeshua, Zehu she'amru kishu chai kolo echad, Ukshumeis kolo shiva. This comment of Rabbi Yeshua is coming off of a borrowed idea. An ram offering, when it's alive, it makes one sound. When it's dead, it makes seven sounds. The seven sounds are because you can, from the slaughtered ayol, you can manufacture seven different kinds of instruments. And the analogy being here that if things would have been done properly, then you would have saved yourself all of these many required replacement korbanos. But as we said before, for our purposes, the fact that Rabbi Yeshua appears here in the Mishnah, and he's speaking up as a commentary on everything that was said till this point. This shows us that Kinim is authored by Rabbi Yeshua. So the attempt to deflect the question that was posed by the second triangle on the previous Amid as being, well, it's not a Rabbi Yeshua source, that's not true. That was a source from Kinim, and we see that it is, that Kinim is authored by Rabbi Yeshua. So why is it that in that source was there an indication that the pair of birds referred to as mefurashin, namely where the sacrifice type was labeled, why is it there that the bird that was labeled an ola, when done on the lower part of the zvech, didn't convert into becoming a chatas? So the Gemara answers, Eimar d'amar b'Yeshua, it is true, where you can say that Rabbi Yeshua said his point that there is sacrifice conversion, la fuka midei meila, that the ola converts into a chatos, the ola which previously had a meila status associated with it can convert into a chatos which loses its meila status. That far Rabbi Yeshua would go. However, la meisak le lechova mi omar, but for a person to fulfill his requirement with someone else's korban, would Rabbi Yeshua go that far? And in the source that we saw before,
it was a situation of Reuven's Ola being processed as a Chatos, and the expectation possibly of Shimon fulfilling his Chatos obligation with Reuven's Ola, because the Ola converts into a Chatos, that far Rabbi Yeshua never went. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.